Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're going to play on and stand strong with Drogo and Dibs. Turn the game on. Pump up the volume. It's time to play.
Thursday morning, Jolo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Welcome to the show. It is a sweat-free show. Any conversation regarding the Houston Rockets is over. I'm putting an end to it. Any conversation about James Harden and Chris Paul, done. Done because of this.
Lob up top for Draymond. Chased by Tucker. Ball to Cousins. Four to shoot. Got to go with three, with two. Rocks into a jumper. It's knocked it down. Season high 27. Warriors 102, Rockets 89.
Big Bad Rockets popping off at the mouth all week. Clint Capella, Mike D'Antoni, bunch of guys who have never done anything. Complainers, whiners, large mouths, big hat, no cattle, as they say in Texas. 106-104 is your final as the Kevin Durant-less Golden State Warriors go to Houston last night in a game in which the Rockets had the opportunity to record the first season sweep over Steve Kerr since he took over as head coach of the Golden State Warriors. The Rockets had a chance to go 4-0 against the Dubs. It was a great advantage for the Rockets because there was no Kevin Durant. Last night was the first time in 40 games the Golden State Warriors were listed as an underdog. Just the sixth time this season, but the first time in 40 games. So what happened? Harden is trying his little fancy stuff early in the first. I think we all noticed a lot of bad looks from him. Chris Paul, whatever. Clint Capella, whatever. Where do you want to begin? Boogie was awesome, but the reality is this Houston team, big hat, no cattle.
Yeah, Joe, you hit it, the nail right on the head. I thought it was a good game by the Dubs. We talked about it the other day, said this is a time for this team to step up and make plays. When you don't have Kevin Durant, you don't have your superstar, and this team is good without Kevin Durant. It's not great. Sometimes it's even better without Kevin Durant, but it's not great without him. Once this team is clicking, and you saw, even though Steph at times has struggled, but the team played with more energy. You saw Draymond with the defense. Guys were hustling. You saw guys off the bench, Livingston, Looney, a lot of guys, Cook, a lot of guys stepped up and played, I thought, solid games defensively. To hold this Rocket team to 104 Dibs, that was my biggest takeaway.
It was a big effort night, and that's what you see. When you go with Andre Iguodala in the starting lineup, you know that the team is looking to play hard and they're looking to play for the victory. We haven't always seen that over the course of this season. I believe they've now won six of their last 11. It's been win a game, lose a game. It's been on again and off again. But what I liked last night was the effort and the energy, not only of the starting unit, but you had Quinn Cook in there with second team. The second team more than held their own. We've become accustomed to seeing the first unit go out at the end of the first quarter, and then we hold our collective breath. But the Livingston Cook unit played really well yesterday in the second, but also in the fourth quarter.
Rockets were riding a 9-game winning streak going into that game. 9-game winning streak. They were the hottest team in the NBA. But not only that, within that context, they had outscored the opposition by 83 points during the first quarter. That's just 9 quarters of basketball in which they had outscored the opposition by 83 points. They weren't just beating teams. They were jumping all over them early, and they were annihilating teams. Plus 83 in the first quarter during their 9-game winning streak. Last night without Durant, they got outscored by 10. They looked terrible. They looked terrible. They did a bunch of talking leading up to the game. They had a chance to go for the season sweep. Chris Paul was healthy. I don't want to hear that nonsense. And they went out there, and the Warriors took it to him. Defensively, Draymond had a bunch of turnovers because when he moves too fast, that ball gets away from him. But they were flying around defensively. They clearly came out last night wanting to avenge what had happened against Phoenix. They clearly realized it was time to start ratcheting it up. And history will not remember this, unfortunately. 10 years from now, you'll look back and you'll be on your basketball reference page and you'll look at the 18-19 season. You'll say, man, the Rockets got the better of the Warriors that year. Beat them 3 times in 4 games. Doesn't matter. The previous three literally mean nothing now because that's the final message the Rockets have. That is the final message Houston has about the Golden State Warriors, the final memory before they possibly meet in the playoffs. Warriors will be there. We don't know if the Rockets are going to get to a point where they can face the Warriors. But that's your final memory going in. The next time you get together, if it's in the postseason, it's about how a Durant-less Warrior team came into your building and slapped you around a little bit after you ran your mouth all week.
It's good. You have been popping off at the gums, and it was good that a Warrior team came out, and they came out motivated, like you alluded to, Joe and Dibs. We're talking about the effort that you got on defense and guys flying around, jumping in the lane. You saw Cook out there penetrating, going to the hole. McKinney was long with defense, knocked down some balls, had some deflection, thought he was great. They tried to feed the ball inside, him knocking it down. You're right. Here's a team that went out there collectively and played well. I think that this is a situation that you know that the Rockets are going to say, hell, we beat them without Harden. We beat them without their superstars, without our superstars, too. We beat them on their court. So I think that this is a game, though, that the Warriors wanted to play well. They needed to play well. And they went out there, man down, and they played with energy. They played with the effort that you wanted them to say, in spite having some mistakes.
Hand down, man down, as Mark Jackson used to say. And if you're Houston and you're Mike D'Antoni, you tell the team, hey, we've still won 6 of the last 11 against these guys, which is not a small sample size. But, Joe, you make a good point about that last taste in your mouth. You know, if you have your dinner and then you end up having your ice cream, before you brush your teeth, the last taste in your mouth is ice cream. And in this case, if you're the Houston Rockets, for dessert, you basically had pickle juice because it leaves that bad taste in your mouth. Come May, if you do face them again, you know that not only did they beat you in the last game of the regular season, but it was a Durant-less victory, as you mentioned. And oh, by the way, this might be the official return of DeMarcus Cousins to being the elite player that we all know he can be, because he was an unstoppable force in the post last night, scoring, passing, defending. He held his own as well. It was a great game for DeMarcus.
Boogie was incredible. 27 points on 11 of 16 shooting, 8 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals, plus 7 in 32 minutes. That was probably the concern, is that the Rockets would come out and want to get him in the pick and roll, and they dragged him into a bunch of action. The problem is it hurt him on the other end because they like to switch off of everything. So the Warriors just got him in favorable matchups all night. Boogie's stat line will be remembered for the 27 points. Most will see that and say, man, he had a big game. He had the smartest game of the season. In 20 games, that was his smartest game of the season. He only had 3 fouls last night. For him, that's huge. Huge. In the previous 20 games that he's played all season, he's only had 2 or fewer fouls 2 times. He generally finds himself in foul trouble. He only took 2 3-pointers last night, knowing full well he was ice cold from deep coming into that game. So he was smart with his shot selection. He was smart with his defensive rotations. And his passing was incredible. Season-high 7 assists, but every time he found himself in a situation where he got stuck one-on-one against Harden, and I'm talking about Harden defending him, he knew that there was probably a good matchup somewhere else. There are these great clips out there from last night of Steph Curry getting open because Clint Capella is now on Steph. So Boogie, instead of trying to back it down every time, trying to take over the game, realizes there might be a better opportunity out there, and he would get Steph involved. Everybody was playing great last night, but Boogie had the smartest game of the season. Here's Cousins after the game.
I'm just playing the flow of the game. Made right decisions. I think we played, you know, a good team basketball game. And when we play that way, I think everybody can get going. Everybody can, you know, catch the flow of the game. And, you know, we have games like we had tonight.
Speaking of Boogie, we are going to talk to Bruce Bochy at 8:30 today. After we're done with the skipper of the San Francisco Giants, the 3-time World Series champ, we've got an autographed Boogie Cousins basketball and tickets to his comedy show to give away. So mark it down, big swing later in the show. Bruce Bochy at 8:30, autographed Boogie Cousins basketball to give away afterwards.
That ball all of a sudden has some enhanced meaning, Joe, after yesterday's game, and you see what DeMarcus is beginning to do on the offensive and the defensive end. You talked about the play out of the post. He's showing great patience. Even though he has Harden on him, he's not just turning shoulder and trying to barrel to the hoop. He's waiting. And the one clip you talked about where Steph waits for the screen and somebody comes over and frees him up against Capella, boom, DeMarcus kicks it out for the 3-ball. The other play that happened at least 2 times is Klay Thompson setting his man up for a dive cut down the middle of the key. Capella's guarding him. He can't possibly stay with him. And DeMarcus able to thread those passes in traffic, in the key. You forget what a great passer he is. And when they can run things through him instead of Kevin Durant, obviously, who was out, It's a completely different look to the offense, but equally potent in ways.
Current situation right now, the Warriors find themselves a game and a half up on the Denver Nuggets, but the Nuggets have an additional game to play. The Warriors have played one more game than Denver, but they do hold a game and a half lead for the number one seed. Oklahoma City is 4.5 games back of the Warriors for the one seed. They've played one more game than the Dubs. Houston now 4.5 games back of the Warriors as well. They've played one more game than the Dubs. And then Dame Lillard and the Portland Trail Blazers, 5 games back, they have played the same amount of games as the Dubs. Draymond Green had some awesome comments after last night's game. We're going to get to those next. It's Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
We've got a star-studded lineup today on The Game. Giants manager Bruce Bochy joins Joe Lowe and Dibs at 8:30.
Left center field, still going. Adios!
Damon Bruce is going back to back.
I'm going back to back.
Warriors head coach Steve Kerr at 3:30. And Bay Area legend Jason Kidd at 4. On the Bay Area's number one sports station, 95.7. The Game. Joe Lowe and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Mark it down, 8:30 this morning. Three-time World Series champion Bruce Bochy will join the show. Right after that, we'll be giving away an autographed Boogie Cousins basketball. The timing on this worked out perfectly. We were planning on doing it this week anyway, and then Boogie goes off against the Rockets in a 106-104 victory in Houston last night, snapping the Beard's 9-game winning streak. So it's like, hey, we might as well just make this Boogie day on 95.7 The Game. He was outstanding. He was outstanding. He's the individual headline from last night. But Draymond Green had some awesome comments after the game. They asked him about all the trash talk Houston was doing leading up to last night. Take a listen to Draymond.
Well, it is what it is. I guess they should be confident. If they're not confident, who's going to be confident for them? So they should be confident.
Shoot you guys in the home.
Hell no. For what? We don't need to be juiced up for them talking. We beat them. So we don't need to get juiced if they say we're not on their level. That's dumb. Doesn't make sense. Not sure stupidity juices anyone. It's just like, oh, that's dumb. So, no.
I love it.
I wish the NBA had more of this. Really? Like, they're so good with the drama, and Boogie's got a great comment on that we're going to play in just a minute. But so many of the players don't want to get caught up in the mobility conversation. Where are you going next year? What are you doing about free agency? Okay, understandable. I wish there was more of this, though. Trash talk leading into the games and then trash talk after. This is harmless. All of this is harmless, right? Capella and D'Antoni, those were harmless comments. We're having fun with them this morning. It's not the end of the world. It added some excitement leading up to the game. Because you know what? You got 82 games. That's all right with me. That's all right. You're not taking shots at kids or wives. You just talk about the basketball. And then you go out, and after the game, someone fires back. And then maybe the next time you get together, you pop off. I'd like someone to say something about Russ or Paul George leading up to the OKC game Saturday night. But this is the harmless stuff that can make these games more interesting. And I love it that afterwards, we don't need to get gassed up for stupidity. So now the Rockets got to sulk. But you know what? Inevitably, they'll be back, and it's all in good fun. That's the drama we should be focused on.
Yes, and I love the trigger word that was revealed in that, and it's juiced. Because he asked, are you juiced up? And he immediately snapped back, no, I'm not juiced up. The only thing that he could have said, which would have been better, is stupidity is not a fruit. So how am I going to get juiced up over stupidity? Because you can't juice stupidity. No, I'm not juiced up over that.
And then here
that.
Comes your Jamba Juice endorsement.
Exactly. Whatever it takes. And next thing you know, there's no stupidity in this. It's Jamba Juice. I'm Draymond Green. You know? And basically, nice. What he's saying is totally accurate. But one of the takeaways for me is the fact that that's a trigger word for him. Basically, he's saying we don't need anyone to juice us up, let alone these kind of stupid comments. So I'm with you, Joe, on the idea of trash talk among players and having guys clap back and forth. This, to me, is much more compelling than Serge Ibaka trying to stagger into a guy and hit him with a right jab.
He missed. It was a big right, though.
He did miss.
He missed, but he tried to land it.
That's why you always got to go with the two-piece, with the that. You know, you got to go left first. You can't just throw the wild
it's
right.
It's hard to miss when you go for the body. hit the body beam.
Good point.
Go to the body beam, you bend them down.
And it hurts a lot more than people realize. It's not some glory shot where a lot of blood sprays. Bernard, Roy Jones put a body shot on, I want to say, Virgil Hill.
Virgil.
That put him, he started crying.
Crying.
Mickey Ward used to be really good at that.
You bang that body. It ain't the pretty shot. It ain't where the blood flies, but that body. And that's what Draymond and this Warrior team did last night. They went to the body.
Great segue.
Nice. Really, really well done.
Thank you, Joe. I try. I'm here till 10.
Now I'm all about the descent because we've reached the top.
Oh, my God.
Let's make sure we don't kill ourselves on the way down.
Take a couple pictures and we'll safely descend.
Why do you guys do that? Right when I come in, I set the table, and then all you guys just try to rip the paper, rip the cloth right underneath the table.
Surprised?
No. How dare you?
This could be one of those hikes where you get to multiple peaks, so we can always hope for that.
Here you go again. It won't be. Okay. Anywho.
We either run out of oxygen or we fall.
Stop
those
it!
Are really the only
Somebody get my shirt, but I need to get down to base camp.
Do you want me to continue or
please,
no?
Yes. Would you please?
God, Lee. Anyways, this was a body shot by the Warriors. They needed to take this shot. You saw what's been going on. They've been taking a lot of headshots. They're up by the Phoenix Suns, double digits. You think you got that game won. You've just been peppering them in the face, and all of a sudden, here comes Phoenix. You find a way to lose that game. You're traveling now. You're like, man, we got to show people we can fight. We can still fight. And great fighters, they always like to go to the body. This was a Warrior team to say, God, we're going to go to the body. We're going to continue to punch this team. We're going to cut. We're going to rip to the basket. I thought the Warriors played with more energy, more speed. They did so much diving to the basket and cutting to the basket. You're talking about Boogie on the in the box down there and enforcing the ball in, cutting. There was Klay cutting. There was Draymond cutting. There was different guys cutting at all times. You even saw Steph miss the three, and here comes Looney flying across, getting the slam, throwing it down. Why? Because guys were diving to the basket. Second shot opportunities up. Why? Because the Warriors played at a faster pace last night. They put the Rockets on notice. They put the Rockets and said, let's make these guys run. You saw guys setting the screen, running guys off the line. They did a great job of doing that. Even when you were talking about Boogie, Joel, earlier, Boogie only had 2 fouls in the first half. You thought he was getting in foul trouble. Kerr pulls him out. But one of the fouls, he came in, Harden's driving to the hole. I thought that was a bad call. He got set. They called. They should have called the charge. Instead, they called him blocking. But Boogie played very solid last night. You wanted to see the big fella eat. He was able to eat. Ball movement was good. Guys played with effort, and that's what they've been missing a lot. The effort was there, the attention to details were there. Even though it wasn't a perfect game, they made a lot of mistakes. You saw some careless turnovers at times, but you saw the effort there. And when they're playing with that type of effort, it's a hard team to beat.
There are two things I want to get on. One is, it I want to go back to that fight you were talking about with Ibaka. Is it wrong to like that? Like, I know we live in a day and age now where you can't advocate for fighting, and it's not good for the kids, and it's not good for the sport, and you're trying to appeal to a lot of people. I kind of like NBA fights. Am I even allowed to say that, or is that too offensive?
I love that you like it.
Because the Pacers-Knicks thing, the winning time, the 30 for 30, I watched that a couple weeks ago. I know I've mentioned it a few times. Watching all these fights break out in the NBA back in the day, I'm not saying I need it in every game.
Right.
But I don't have a problem with the NBA fight. I like the NBA fight.
I don't mind the skirmishes. It's okay to say that as long as it doesn't devolve to the Rudy Tomjanovich Kermit Washington level.
No cheap shots.
That wasn't really a fight. That was more of a cheap shot. I think as long as guys, nobody gets badly hurt. But then you look at a guy like Serge Ibaka, who's pretty long and physical and strong.
Work the jab. That's his biggest mistake.
If he
coming
connects,
in with haymakers, he ain't Deontay Wilder.
As long as no one gets hurt, I'm okay with it too. But I just kind of bristle a little bit at the thought of something bad happening.
Like swing and miss. Like Chris Paul and Rondo. Right? That was a victimless crime. That was a great shot Rondo put on Paul.
It was a great show. It was a good show, like you said. Yeah. One of them was scared, another one was glad of it. They didn't want to fight. You know,
Spitgate.
Right.
Or Gleekgate. Gleekgate.
Right. And then Brandon Ingram from the third row flicking in the jab, and he gets 5 games.
And very rarely do they land. That's why when the big boys go at it, I like it because I'm going to see a little wrestling. Charles Barkley.
Right. They never land. They're grazing at best, and then there's tackling. That's what makes it great.
Right.
You're right. I don't want to see...
Right.
All right. I want to clarify with that. I don't want to see any serious injury.
No.
I want to see the skirmishes, though. I want to see Van Gundy grabbing a leg.
Oh,
yes.
Boy.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Have you ever seen one go to the body, though? Have you seen
No one goes to the body.
Thank you.
No one goes
if
to the body.
If they really want to
No
assault?
One's willing to use the backboard for their free throws. It's all about the glamour muscles.
Right.
Everything's got to be about glamour. Make it look good. Get the likes. Just work the body.
Right.
Go off the backboard.
Right.
And you make a good point, too, about the body. If you go good to the body, then the head comes a little bit lower. And now, set you up for the hook.
Bring that head down.
Right.
While we're on random topics about basketball.
Random.
This Klay Thompson three-pointer last night. I'm watching it again. The one that he shot third quarter, they're up 60 to 58. It's like 9:35 remaining in the corner. Bottom of the screen, he's like 5 or 6 feet behind the line, but the arc of the ball, it looks like it gets through the rim and the net without touching anything. It was so silky smooth. I'll play it again. Because it all happened so fast. If you don't go back and watch the replay, you can't appreciate it. So go back and watch the replay.
That's the one he hits in transition, right? From like 30.
Yeah.
Because he hits one a couple possessions later where he runs from the baseline and he almost doesn't even touch it and it comes out and he nails that
three.
Not
that. It's the one in transition. Okay. There's 9:35 to go in the third quarter. They're up. They're down, actually, 60 to 58. This puts them ahead by one. It is so smooth. You don't even see the net. You see none of it. It's beautiful.
Draws.
It's artwork. We didn't even get to Boogie's comments. Bruce Bochy at 8:30. Boogie Cousins, we're giving away an autographed basketball. Boogie Cousins right after that. We got to get to the KD question. Last night, they looked like they were having a lot of fun without Kevin Durant. What do you make of that?
Joe Lowendibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Hours from now, 8:30 a.m., Bruce Bochy, three-time World Series champion, will join Joe Lowendibs on 95.7 The Game, and then right after that, we will be giving away an autographed Boogie Cousins basketball, complete with a couple tickets to his upcoming comedy show. Hang tight with us right around 8:45 this morning, and like I said, the entree into that, the great Bruce Bochy at 8:30. So what do we do here? Because this is naturally a conversation, you at the very least, you have to consider it and you have to put it on the table and then you can move away. You don't have to speculate wildly. You don't have to make it a big deal. But you do have to bring it up. The Warriors go to Houston last night and they terminate the Rockets' 9-game winning streak. Great game all the way around. There are so many things people want to nitpick, end of game management, whatever. They showed up. The last two times they decided to show up for games were big games against the Nuggets and the Rockets, and they won both of them. They should have showed up for the Celtics, but they didn't want to. They decided to show up for Denver. It worked out. They decided to show up for Houston. It worked out. We can feel pretty good about that. But there was no Kevin Durant last night. They were an underdog for the first time in 40 games, and part of that was due to the absence of Durant. So naturally, you watch him play really well without Durant, and you start thinking to yourself, seems like they're having a lot of fun. Seems like they're having some success against a good team in a tough situation. What do you do with that? Do you make anything of that? Do you say to yourself, well, if he ends up leaving, everything will be fine? Or maybe they're not getting along well, and one night off from Durant, they played really great? Or do we just look at it and say, this is nothing? This is actually nothing. They're still a very talented basketball team. We don't need to read too deep into
it. It's a small sample size, but I don't think it's nothing. It's certainly something. Now, did they play with effort and enthusiasm because they are embarrassed against Phoenix? Probably. Now, did they play with the joy and the ball movement and the freedom of movement without Kevin Durant? I think there's something to that because there's a number of possessions when Kevin Durant's on the floor where he gets the ball and he decides what the action will be, whether it's him going to the hoop, him shooting, or him giving it up late in the shot clock for someone else to score. So when you don't have Kevin Durant and you're looking to be effective offensively, you know you have to do it differently. And that involves using DeMarcus in the post, and it also involves maybe more ball movement, passing and cutting, which leads to more joy.
Do you take much away from this? Because we have to talk about it.
We do.
But it doesn't require an in-depth conversation unless someone feels as if there's more here than meets the eye.
Yeah, I think it's all hogwash. I think that Matt Cassel, we saw what happened in New England. Here's a guy, Brady, the greatest quarterback ever paid. He leaves, they win 9-10 games. They paid him!
System QB.
Exactly.
He's a system QB.
System QB.
I've never seen him in another system, have you?
Right, exactly. Yeah, he went to another system, Kansas City. How'd that work out?
That's Cassel.
But I think that it goes to show you that this is a system, though, too. And if you follow the system, if you have some superstars still, Clay, Steph, and the guys, if you have guys and they follow the system, which is ball movement, same thing, San Antonio has won 8 or 9 straight. They don't have the athletes that we have. But look at San Antonio because
they're covering a lot of spreads too. Wink, wink. Okay. They're covering spreads.
I'll be on them tonight. Thank you, Joe. So that system works if you have guys that would follow the system.
Quick interruption. They don't play tonight.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll just
dibs. That's not necessary.
Yeah, thank you.
Basically, the implication was next time they play,
right,
he'll be
that's
on.
That's all it was, Daniel. Golly. My goodness. So, anyways, Joe, let me try to get back on track.
That's
here.
On me for interrupting you.
So. When you think about the system, it goes to show you that the system works when everyone buys in. Kevin Durant is a superstar. We talk about could be the best player in the association. We get that. With Kevin Durant in the game, a lot of times they go to him too much. They know that he's there. He's their safety blanket. They get the ball to Kevin Durant. And you know what? I'm feeling myself because Kevin Durant sometimes feel that, and he knows that the team needs him, so he'll do his thing. And you talk about him getting upset when they lose. Yes, all those things are good. But the biggest thing Kevin Durant did when he first got here, he understood that wasn't about him, and he said, I'm going to move the ball. I'm going to fit in this system because I want to win championship, and it's not about me. We saw that, and they won. They played with joy that first year. Now it's starting to become a little bit old hat. Now you have a situation where, yeah, he may leave and all those different things around it. The joy is not there and all the different things surrounding it, but they're still forcing the ball to him. He wants the ball. You see him clapping his hands at times. So that's, God, I don't want to upset the flow and upset this guy. But you see now, once he's out, the joy and guys are playing. All Kevin Durant has to realize and say, it's not about me. We're good enough. I don't have to do that. And the team has to realize that, though. Don't just put this all on Kevin Durant, because this team is far better with Kevin Durant than without him. Now, they have shown you, and when Kevin Durant wasn't here, they can win. They showed you last night that they can win. They can still win, and they can still beat just about anybody in the association without Kevin Durant. But when they're playing their best and he's bought in and they all bought in and playing with the joy, Joe, and everyone's doing it, this team's unbeatable.
Also, it's tough to talk to a guy who's been so great for so long and say, hey, come to our team. Now, we want you to come to our team, and you're great. We want you because you're great, and you're great because you play like this. But now we want you on our team. We want you to do something different. It's kind of like, okay, that's a little contrary to my belief. So right. I see what you're saying. You got to buy in, but you also got to be you.
Yes.
It's delicate. There's a lot of you got to work through there. By and large, it's all great. Hypothetically speaking, how far could they go without him? Just based on what we saw last night, how confident would you be in how far the Warriors could go this year if he wasn't with them right now? If they were Durant-less.
I would love to see them play without him against OKC. That game, Portland.
Saturday night. You might get it Saturday night. I don't know if he'll be back.
He won't be back.
I hope he's back. It's OKC. It's a road trip to OKC.
But I think this is great for this team, the team building that they're getting to see. Because you know what it does, too? It puts Kevin and Durant in the mindset that he's got to look back. Because I remember when some games that you think that, okay, I remember breaking my ankle and the LT's running well. And I think, okay, he doesn't have me. What's going to happen? Hell, the sucker still went out there, went for $150 against Detroit.
Interesting.
I know.
Interesting.
I get it. And you're watching.
I've always been pro Hall of Fame for you, but that's an interesting nugget that I have to factor in.
No, I know. And you do. And I'm sitting up in the box. My legs propped up. And I come back in 4 weeks. And probably quick return. Because that's who I am. But anywho.
Because you saw how well he was running without a shit.
Looking good in that 11 personnel.
I got to get back there.
No need to run 12 anymore. So the first time I speak in 6 minutes, and now you're going to pout and you're going to sulk to the corner.
Andrew Pinnock was playing.
Put an egg in your broken boot and beat it.
So they were still running 12 personnel.
They were still running 21.
So you guys were just system fullbacks.
They still went with 21, and Andrew Pinnock was doing a good job. He was also the fullback there. But I was able to watch him like, man, it's not sometimes, and you took yourself out of the equation, and everyone tells you how great you are, and you know you can play, but just. The wheels on the bus are still going to go round and round.
Well, how far do you think they go without him? Just for sake of conversation, how far could they go in the playoffs this year?
I think they still go. I still think they can go to the Western Finals. I don't think they get out of the West.
So Final Four.
Yeah.
They can still win the title. They won the title without him. They can win it with him. And the key is Andre Iguodala. You're not going to play Iguodala the way you did last night for all 82. But in a short series, he still is an unbelievable force. If you give him the 25, 26 minutes he got, you have to rely on your bench, obviously. The Splash Brothers can still light it up better than anyone in the league. I think they could still win the whole thing.
What's your confidence level on that?
Oh, it's about a 5.
Out of?
out of 10.
So you're halfway there. Halfway there. It's not a prison bed or a lock it up sort of situation. It's not a, I'm just kind of walking in to check the temperature of the water. You're halfway there. That's relatively
confident.
And it's
a significant drop, though, from where you are with Kevin Durant and this and DeMarcus Cousins. You're at like a 9 out of 10 in the confidence meter as far as them winning the championship. But still, I'm at a 5 that they could still win it all.
I would take the field. I would take the field 9 out of, I'd take the field 10 out of 10 times if they don't have KD right now. Not that. Yeah, is it possible? Yes, but it's not probable. The difference is the league has changed since they won one without him. The leagues have changed dramatically, and kudos to the Warriors for making the league change. So let's give them props. So, but no, by no means am I, you know, talking down and saying this team still isn't a good team. No, I'm not saying that.
You know they're getting through the first round if they don't have Durant.
Yes,
What about the second round?
Second round.
What if the second round you get Portland?
You're busy. You're busy.
I don't know about that. I think you can get by Portland.
You get by Portland.
Steph's game needs to, I mean, again, he wasn't that hot from three again last night. He's still shooting 36% from deep since the beginning of February. That's not a small sample size anymore. He was shooting about 46% from deep prior to February, and it's dropped off. That's, you know, that's, it's a slump. It happens. But it's like, I'm starting to wonder, I'm just hoping everything's okay and that come playoff time, because we haven't seen one of those vintage games from Steph in a while. You know, I'm starting to get greedy. Starting to get greedy Williams over here.
Yeah.
I would like to see that, strictly because of greedy purposes, right? It's like, it's been a few games since you scored 50.
Yeah.
Could you please do something? I'm getting bored over here.
He's playing a lot differently this year because teams are running him off the three more frequently. You saw last night the mid-range, a couple of drives into the mid-post, and he scored. He scored on a couple layups. So I don't think he's as focused on the three. His game's evolving because defenses are making him.
I liked him late in the game when he was getting in Harden's grill and doing a little trash talking because Harden was trying to flop on the one.
Yes.
On the one leg, slight bump contact, throws his head back all dramatically. Steph let him hear
I love Steph last night.
All right, we got a couple other things we got to get to. Bruce Bochy at 8:30. Right after that, we're giving away an autographed DeMarcus Cousins basketball, but the Niners making more moves yesterday. But what does it mean for a current player on the roster? We got that for you next year on 95.7 The Game.
Got a star-studded lineup today on The Game. Giants manager Bruce Bochy joins Joe Lowe-Dibs at 8:30.
Left center field, still going. Adios! Penalty!
Then, Damon Bruce is going back-to-back.
I'm going back-to-back.
Warriors head coach Steve Kerr at 3:30. And Bay Area legend Jason Kidd at 4. On the Bay Area's number one sports station, 95.7, The Game. Joe Lowe-Dibs continues on 95.7, The Game.
Joe Lowe-Dibs, 95.7, The Game. Great to have you with us. Hit us up on the Chilton Auto Body text line at 95795. For any of your trash talking needs. Lowe would love to hear from you this morning. If you have any issues
with
him,
I would.
Feel free to air those grievances.
Please do. I'm used to it. My back is big and strong, so keep it coming. Keep it coming. Yesterday, you guys hurt me.
But I'm back for more.
So soft.
Contractually obligated. Bruce Bochy will join us today at 8:30. We have got an autographed Boogie Cousins basketball to give away right after that.
That's awesome.
Right around 8:45. So make sure you're with us at that time today. More news out of Santa Clara yesterday. Jed York keeps the bank vault open. John Lynch just walking in, helping himself to jewels and gold and cash, and walking out and throwing it up in the air for free agents, this time in the form of Atlanta Falcon running back Tevin Coleman. 2 years, $10 million. So there's not a whole lot to break down there financially. 2 years, $10 million. $5 million a year, it's a pretty good deal for a running back who had a lot of success under Kyle Shanahan when he was in Atlanta. Remember, Kyle was the OC in Atlanta in 2015 when Coleman was a third-round pick out of Indiana. In 2016, that year they went to the Super Bowl, 118 carries, 520 yards, averaged 4.4 yards per carry, 8 touchdowns on the ground. He can also catch passes out of the backfield. 6'1", 210 pounds. He'll turn 26 years old in April. Like I said, he is a four-year veteran out of Indiana, third-round pick, number 73 overall to Atlanta. Offensively, last season, 167 carries for 800 yards. It was a career high in yardage because Devontae Freeman missed most of the season. He was banged up, but that's 4.8 yards per carry. Also caught 32 passes on 44 targets. So let's start with Tevin Coleman. Do you like the addition at 2 years, $10 million for the Niner backfield?
I do, but more than likely, more than just I like it, that they like it. And what does that tell you? It tells you they wasn't happy at what? Running back. Why? The only reason, why? Why would you bring in a guy to compete? Compete maybe even for the starting position. It's simple. I'll tell you why. Because what running back stayed healthy the whole year? I'm still waiting.
None.
I'm still waiting. Thank you. So you put two guys out there that never carried a load, never been a full-time starter, and what happened? You saw Breida play great. My God, Breida's unbelievable. Guy get, you know, boom, get hurt. Not doable enough, but still had a big heart. Hustle. Played well. Not talking anything junk about him, but the guy, tough guy, we understand that, but couldn't stay healthy. Ankle problems, different things hurt him. Your McKinnon goes down. This is a move that you needed to make. And this is a move that you go to show you that he's not necessarily a starter in the league. Joe, here's the thing that's me, and everyone says that I'm crazy and talks about me and all the different things, and they said, oh, well, I wouldn't play this much. You got two running backs, you're paying them $5 million, got another guy you're paying $3 million, comes out to $13 million. You got two rookies, if you pay two rookies, pay a minimum salary, talking about $300,000 a year. You could have got my guy. You could have got my man, the guy that you know who I'm talking about.
Le'Veon.
Don't sit here and tell me about this. Don't tell me it's raining outside, and I know rain don't smell like pee. Peeing on my head at the same time. I know a little bit about this game. Two guys at five-some million dollars a year, you look at it, $6, $7 million a year, you look at the salary, and now you look at what Le'Veon could bring, and now you get two young guys in the draft. You have these two guys, their bodies, they can go out there and do the same things, because Shanahan's system, their system guys, he can find those guys. You can find those guys. That's why I like Le'Veon, but this is a good move. They needed to make sure that they had some depth and some more security at the running back position.
I see your point, but you have to remember, when you add all those numbers up, yeah, it makes sense, but Bell still needs a backup. You didn't account for that in that very impressive match.
It wasn't that impressive, quite frankly.
He ripped it all off, and it's like, this sounds really good, but you do still need to spend on backup running backs, do you not?
Yeah,
if it's so important, you'd like to have a backup.
I do. But you sure what I was saying? I was saying, now you get those guys in the rookie system, guys, and you only pay them the minimum.
Who? What rookies? Guys like Joe Williams, who couldn't make it onto the field?
Who is this?
Raheem Mostert, who is tendered a $2 million offer?
Yeah, but who? Thank you. Mostert, those guys. You can find these guys. That's my point. They're just guys. That's the difference between greatness and just guys. I get it. That's my point. You can go find average backs, guys that can come in and play in the system. And you can pay them the $300,000 to $400,000 to $500,000, play them the minimum, and get some good backup guys that can come in a couple plays and spare Bell. So, yes, I do agree with that.
So Bell gets one injury, turf toe, pulled hammy, pulled groin. All of a sudden now we're going to some $400,000 a year rookie to tote the rock for a team that maybe is 6-5, and we're looking to make the push to the playoffs. It's too many eggs in one basket. When you have an approach like this where you bring in another veteran, somebody who the coach is already familiar with, add him to the stable of running backs, it's much more suited to this roster and what you're trying to do with this offense, as opposed to putting all the eggs in the Le'Veon Bell basket.
It's a nice, comfortable signing.
Yeah.
2 years, that's $10 million is not going to get anyone worked up. It adds depth to a position that desperately needed it last year. I mean, suddenly we went from a running back platoon that was the walking wounded into a running back platoon that's overflowing. We'll get to that in just a second, because it might mean something negative for one of the guys, but Shanahan knows Coleman.
Yep.
He worked with him in Atlanta, so he knows what type of culture guy he is, what type of practice guy he is, and what he brings to the field. He knows how to work him into a system and whether or not he can have success in the system. Those are a lot of boxes that are checked coming in. You know, you never know with some of these signings, is the guy going to fit? We're going to spend it like, in Cleveland, at the very least, you got to think, man, Odell Beckham, Jarvis Landry, that's a lot of big personalities around our young quarterback. Sure, it could work out. I'm not saying it won't, but you don't know. Beckham's coming in, you're not positive. He had some issues in New York. Shanahan knows what he's getting in Coleman, so you can feel comfortable in that. The question people want to know is, what does this mean for Jerick McKinnon? McKinnon was injured before the season even started last year, so they got nothing out of him. You've got Breida. Mostert was tendered, and Mostert's not going anywhere because he contributes in a big way on special teams. So at the very least, he's going to be on your active roster every week. So he's taking up one of the running back positions. Breida's going to be the other. Are you going to carry four, or are you going to move on from McKinnon? Because remember, all of McKinnon's guaranteed money was paid last year. They don't really owe him anything guaranteed until April 1st. We're a couple weeks away. If he's on the roster April 1st, his $3.7 million base salary for next year is fully guaranteed. So now the scuttlebutt is, well, are they going to move on from Jerick McKinnon? Do you think they should move on from Jerick McKinnon? I mean, we didn't even get to see this guy take a single snap.
No, they're not.
I still want to see what could happen there.
You will. You'll get to see him, Joe. All it does is
you're confident he's going to be around?
Lock it up. Lock it twice.
Ooh,
I mean,
that's big.
No, he's not going anywhere.
Mark the tape. MTT.
The guy's not going anywhere. They're going to keep him. You look at McKinnon. You look at Breida. Who is Breida? Where did Breida come from? Where was Breida at? Where was he drafted? And that's my point. He's a guy that stepped on the scene we didn't know anything about. He's a good little guy. He's a nice little story. He's a cute little piece. We don't know for sure how this guy's. We don't know his durability. You're talking about, I know we're talking about McKinnon too, but I'm just talking about even Breida. Now what this did for you, it's giving you some trade value. If these guys are who you guys believe that they are, and they're more than just guys, then what's going to happen? Come the season, you got three guys that you're paying pretty decent money at. There's going to be some teams that come a knocking, and then you can say, hey, do they have some trade value? So I think the San Francisco 49ers secured the running back position. You brought in another guy that can compete for the starting position. And like you said, you got two guys, you're paying them one five, the other one three. It's okay. They're not going anywhere. He's going to be here. McKinnon, that is. He's not going to get cut. They're not going to trade him.
Four running backs, though. That's four running backs right there on the game day roster.
Plus the fullback gives you five running backs on the game day roster.
Here's the deal. No, it's only going to be three running backs. Maybe it's going to be two to three running backs that on active game day, somebody's not being activated. We know that.
So that's going to be either Breida, McKinnon, or Coleman, because you're going to have Mostert in there, because I believe he's on five of your six special team units. So he's active. Your fullback is active.
Mostert ain't going to be active.
You need 11 guys on special teams. He's one of those guys that plays on like every special team. That's why they're bringing him back.
We'll see.
We will.
If it come down to having a back, McKinnon, Coleman, you just signed, and Breida. Those are going to be your three backs that are going to be active, and then Hushchek is going to be active. Somebody's going to have to step up and play more special teams. You're going to, in the draft, you're going to go get a linebacker. You're going to go get a DB. This is just what you do in the later rounds. You're going to go bring in some free agency, and you got somebody that's going to step up in free agency. This happens every year. Why are we having this conversation?
Because it's a legitimate conversation.
Yes, and you're not seeing the bigger picture. You're fixating on the one small thing, the micro thing, but you're not really looking at the overall roster composition.
Which guy do you see not being on the roster?
The answer is Matt Breida. Breida's the guy who won't be up on game day.
But when Breida's healthy, he's a pretty nice piece.
It's not Breida. It's going to be Mostert, the guy who broke his arm. He's the last guy that's going to be. Because here's what's going to happen. In free agency, and they're going to bring in some guys, going to be drafting guys, and guys are going to step up and play special teams. Special teams is key, but there's going to be some young guys, whether it's linebacker or cornerbacks, that they're going to say whatever, whether it's either, and they're going to say, okay, who is going to push Mostert to be on special teams? There's going to be a safety. There's going to be some guys that they're going to look at and say, who's it going to be? This, unless he outshines everybody by that dramatically and say, you know what, we're not going to suit up five linebackers. You know what? We're going to go with four. We're going to go with five backs. Sometimes on game day, coaches have to make that tough decision. I just think right now it's Mostert.
All right. Let me get legal real quick.
Please.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, KGMZ San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. Good morning and welcome to your 7 o'clock hour of Jolo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Hugh Douglas, 10-year NFL veteran, 3-time Pro Bowler, coming up in about 17 minutes at 7:18. We're going to talk to him about the Tevin Coleman signing. Papa today, because it's Thursday, is not at 8:30. Papa will be at 8 o'clock in 1 hour. He had to take the bump. Very rare that Papa gets bumped, but if you're going to bump him, well, it better be someone with, as we like to say, gravitas.
Yes.
Bruce Bochy, 8:30, 3-time World Series champ. After that, we're giving away an autographed Boogie Cousins basketball, as well as tickets to his upcoming comedy show. So we have got a huge, huge final 3 hours for you. Now, we'll get into Boogie and the Warriors game against the Rockets last night in just a few minutes, but I want to wrap this up. Tevin Coleman signed by the Niners yesterday. 2 years, $10 million. Good deal. Kyle Shanahan was the offensive coordinator in Atlanta when the Falcons drafted Coleman out of Indiana in the third round back in the year 2015, right? So they bring him in. He's got familiarity. But what we're trying to figure out is what's going to happen to the running back platoon moving forward. Jerick McKinnon's guaranteed money is all paid for in year one, even though he didn't play a snap. He has a $3.7 million base salary that becomes guaranteed on April 1st. You are convinced McKinnon's going to still be in the fold, Coleman's in the fold, Breida's in the fold, Mostert brought back on a tender for about $2 million. But that's a lot of running backs to carry on game day. So you're saying they won't all be playing on game day. You think it's going to be Mostert who's deactivated, even though he's kind of their special teams ace. Remember, special teams is what?
The third. I totally agree.
Sure you just want to make sure you...
Only thing that I'm saying, guys...
Done remembered.
There is going to be a linebacker or a safety that steps up, and they're going to say, okay, it's going to come down to him and Mostert. And the coach and staff is going to say, which one is going to help us more on special teams, but then which one is going to help us more on their prospective side of the ball, offense or defense. The running back position, healthy running backs, you got three guys that can tote the mail and tote it at a very, very efficient level. Now, if you got a linebacker and you say, okay, well, if I have one of my linebackers go down, well, I need to have him make sure that
we really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.